in a season of gift giving and generosity, let me tell you that motives count for one thing. Why you give.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast that you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Once again, good morning. I want to, I compliment a breast in the 8 o'clock service. I want to say again, first, I think all our elders do an excellent job with the devotions and meditations. Today just seemed to me to be particularly on the nose. I thought Russ did an excellent job with that. I said in the 8 o'clock service, probably better than the sermon. So, from here. A couple weeks ago, I was occupied in the long-standing holiday tradition of raking leaves. And it can never be done before Thanksgiving and hardly ever done before Christmas because the trees just won't let go of them all that early. And so you gotta be raking leaves through the holiday season. And I was on the second go-round raking leaves at the house, and I had started up by the street and was working to the back, meaning to get them all behind the garage where I could load them in one shot onto my trailer. As I was nearing the back of the yard, I had a pile of leaves about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle that I was trying to shepherd to the spot behind the garage for that easy loading I was shooting at. And a little boy about Ben's age, a little cute fellow, come from the next yard over, and he came up to me and he said, "Mister, can we have some of your leaves?" I had been watching because his older brother had come out whilst I was raking, and he started raking their yard, and I thought, man, that lucky kid, there's not 12 leaves in that whole yard. And he had this little puny pile of leaves that he had raked up, and the little boy was wanting to jump in them, and there was just nothing there to jump in. So he comes over and says, "Mister, can we have some of your leaves?" And in the spirit of neighborly kindness and the generosity of the Christmas season, I said, "Kid, you can have them all." And I changed directions from behind the garage over to these kids' yards. I was trying to rake real fast before their parents figured out what I was doing. And actually, the parents weren't home. And the grandma was home. And I asked the grandma, I said, "The boys wanted these leaves. Can they have them?" And she said, "Yes." And then I started real fast before the parents could get home. And I got, and they were helping kind of, mostly they were jumping in the pile whilst I was trying to rake it. But every once in a while they took a wheelbarrow, a wagon load and moved it. I ended up with the whole big pile of leaves over in their yards. Nothing more for me to deal with. All kindness and generosity. I had some ulterior motives. I just wanted rid of the leaves. In a season of gift giving and generosity, let me tell you that motives count for one thing. Why you give. I had Russ read this passage that is not generally understood to be a Christmas passage at all from the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and yet it is a passage, I think, about generosity. Now, for those who like the technical discussions, I will tell you that there's two opinions about this. When Solomon says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, give to seven, yea, even to eight, for you do not know what misfortunes may befall on the earth." Some people think that he's talking about business investment. You got to invest here, and you got to invest there, and you got to invest in the other place because some will succeed and some won't. And other people think that he's talking about generosity and giving. You have to give here, and you have to give there, and you have to give to this other guy because you don't know when you're going to turn life around and make a difference. I think the latter. I think that it's about giving. So I proceed on that, but I just make sure you know there's another opinion about the passage. There's a wrong opinion about the passage, and it's that one. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for you will find it again after many days. Give to seven, even to eight, for you do not know what misfortunes will occur on the earth. Christmas gift giving. I have been on a lot of different sides and angles where Christmas gift giving is concerned. I will tell you, as a child, I was all in favor of it. Because in those days you got gifts and you didn't really give gifts, and that seemed like a good arrangement to me. Soaking up the benefits of the gift giving tradition. But I will say, as an adult, I enjoyed giving gifts too. I've always enjoyed giving. But the commercialization of Christmas came to bother me, still does bother me a lot. And for several years, what Michael and I did was we rounded up all the money that we would have spent upon gifts, and we gave it each year to a different missionary. And then when we sent out cards to all the people that we would otherwise have given gifts, we told them, in your honor, we gave a certain amount of money to a missionary. And we would give all the money we would have spent on gifts that way to a different missionary every year. We did that for a while. We changed on that. We came to appreciate some more things about gift giving and started giving them again. We've tried to be reasonable and responsible gift givers. And then we had grandchildren and Michael lost her mind. And things rose to a new and different level. But I've been on a lot of different angles about the whole Christmas gift giving thing. And I kind of want to talk about that while talking about the bigger issue of generosity in general. What effect will the gifts that you give have? And the answer is, you cannot know. Which is why Solomon said, give to all. This one, that one, the other one, because you don't know which one will be the one that makes the difference. If I ask you to name your favorite Christmas gift ever that you have ever received, maybe some of you would come up with an answer. Anybody ever watch Citizen Kane? I'm just going to ask this before I say it, because in the 8 o'clock service, nobody knew what in the world I was talking about. Rosebud, right? Okay, for the three people who understand, thank you. Now, what is the favorite gift you've ever received on Christmas? Maybe you could pick one, maybe you couldn't. But how about this? If you pick one, do you think that the person who gave it to you at the time could have predicted that it would become your favorite gift ever, or known the reasons why it would become your favorite gift ever? You cannot know the effects of your giving, because you don't know the course that a life is going to take, much less a community or a society. As a minister, and I have been a minister all my adult life, and it seems like half of my teen years, I was in ministry as well. I have been involved for a long time in church benevolence projects, and I have overseen the giving away of a lot of money, and I have overseen the giving away of a lot of food, and I have overseen the giving away of a lot of this kind of assistance and that kind of assistance. And I have been on the projects where you go and you fix the roof and you paint the house and you give, you help, you do the church benevolence. And I'll be the first one to admit that from a human perspective, you can look back on a lot of those people that you helped and the effects that followed, and you can say it was all money and effort down the drain. We gave, and nothing changed. And this is often seemingly so. from our point of view. But then there is that one time in however many when you gave and everything changed. You gave and this person's life turned around, at least partly as the result of the gift, the help, the generosity you extended. And it made a difference for generations, children and grandchildren who haven't arrived yet, because you helped change this one life by your kindness and generosity. And the thing is, you can't know in advance which act of generosity it is that will have this effect. So give to 7, even to 8, because you do not know what misfortunes will befall on the earth. But then I want to tell you something else, because there's not just the human perspective. There is also the divine perspective. And from God's perspective, all that generosity is entirely different. Whether or not you get to see the changes that you would like to see from it, here's what I will tell you. Jesus said, when you see someone who is in need and you help them, the least of these, my brethren, I count it as though you gave it to me. And if you saw Jesus hungry, you would feed him, would you not? If you saw Jesus hurting, you would comfort him, would you not? And he says, whenever you do it for the least of these, my brethren, it is just as though you did it for me. And Jesus said, not even something as seemingly insignificant as one cup of cold water given in his name, even just that cup of water will not lose its reward, because God sees and is blessed by every act of generosity, however you may be able to judge it from the earthly, worldly standard. Keep casting your bread upon the water, and you will see it again after many days. This is the promise of God, and the blessing will be physical and the blessing will be spiritual, but you will be blessed because you have allowed yourself to be a blessing. And Jesus adds to it. Jesus says, when that blessing comes back to you, it will come back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And we understand that. You fill a bucket up and you think that it's full. That's good measure, filled to the top. But you can push down on the stuff in there and you can put a little more in. And you can pick up the bucket and you can shake it and make the stuff settle. And you can put a little more in. And when you can't put any more in, you can keep trying to put more in and the bucket will overflow. And this is the way that God returns. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. This is the promise of God. Christmas, the season of giving. December 25th, the day of generosity. Give Christmas gifts, that is where I come down finally. Give them. Give them wisely. Motive matters. We don't give gifts so as to purchase the affections of the recipient. You should be nice to me. Look at this gift I gave you. We don't give gifts to impress people take out an ad in the paper. Here's the list of gifts I gave away this Christmas. We don't give gifts to obligate people. We don't give gifts, as with my generosity with the leaves, just to get rid of something I don't want. Although some people give those gifts. Yeah, I haven't used this in 5 years. Slap some wrapping paper on that and ship it on down the line. Are you familiar with the real meaning of white elephant gifts? Do you know what that really means? It means that somebody gave a gift so as to ruin you. The king gave you a white elephant because nobody who didn't have control of the royal treasury could afford to take care of a white elephant with all the religious trappings that were supposed to happen with that. So he gave you one knowing it would bankrupt you to have it. Motive counts. Why do you give gifts? I can make a couple of suggestions. As I told the children, wise men gave gifts to establish that the prophecies about Jesus Christ were true and to equip him for the ministry of sacrifice to come. Those seem to me like pretty good guidelines. If in your gift giving, you could consider impressing the truth of Jesus Christ and equipping someone to minister. Those would be good guidelines for gift. You could do a small thing, just from my perspective, you could choose wrapping paper that emphasizes Jesus. I would appreciate just that. But in all your gift giving, what if your motivation was to make an impression about the truth of Jesus Christ and to equip people for ministry in his name? I bet recipients would begin to have a different answer to that question about their favorite Christmas gifts ever. And that said, I will simply tell you mine. It was given on the very first Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that I might not perish, but have everlasting life. There is my favorite Christmas gift, and available to all if we will only receive it.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.